I'm going to read this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. If you have a Bible there, would like to follow along, I'm going to start at verse 26 and read through verse 39. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. While you're looking for that, let me set a little bit of the scene for you. This is one of a series of sermons that I have preached on conversations with Jesus. Jesus preached, according to the record in the New Testament, I know there are more than that, but the New Testament writers recorded four sermons that Jesus preached. And they recorded 28 times when he talked face to face, personally, with one individual. Which means that there's a whole lot more emphasis placed in Jesus' ministry on one-to-one than there is in a corporate gathering where one person speaks to many. Something to think about, something to consider as we pattern ourselves after the New Testament saints and as we seek to become more like Jesus, that He put an emphasis more on speaking one-to-one than He did on great meetings where one spoke to many. He did both, but the emphasis in His ministry, according to the record of the New Testament, was on that one-on-one. So, this conversation with Jesus, I have called Jesus and the Man Who Wore Chains. Listen now to the Word of God from Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Then Jesus and the disciples sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city, who had demons for a long time, and he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for often it seized him. And he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding on the mountain, there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter the herd of swine. And Jesus permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked Jesus to depart from them. for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. There's nothing sadder than a wreck or a ruin. The ruin of a great city, scarred with flame, drowned with a hurricane, shattered by an earthquake, or devastated by bombs. The crash of a great ship or an airplane, loaded with precious cargo, now broken and shattered. But the greatest, the saddest of all, is the wreck and ruin of a woman or a man, a human soul. All the ships, all the planes, all the buildings, all the great cities. Yet all that ruin could not compare with the ruin of a soul made in the image of God. That's the pitiful ruin that we study this morning. As soon as Jesus got out of the boat, a man came quickly, hurriedly, violently towards Jesus. And before Luke records many of the events, Jesus had spoken to this man, recognizing immediately that he was possessed by demons, and demanded that the demons leave this man. And the man cries out, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Please don't drive us into the abyss." And Luke gives us the history of this man. He was once a normal man, once an ordinary person like you and I. But something had happened. Little by little, he began to change. Until finally, his behavior could no longer be tolerated, could no longer be accepted, could no longer be allowed to continue at his hometown. And they drove him out. And to help contain him, they chained him. Chains on his hands, chains on his feet. And through the strength of the demons, he broke them. He lived in the tombs and he ran naked through the tombs and he cut himself with the rocks that he picked up off the ground. And he hurls himself at Jesus. And Jesus says, "What is your name?" Think about the incongruity of this. Think how totally opposite this is. This man roars out, "Jesus, what do we have to do with you? What do I have to do with you?" And Jesus says, "What is your name?" And if ever I am called on to direct a Bible movie, this is one of the scenes I'm going to include. And I'm going to show the face of the man as he struggles with that question. And he won't be speaking, but you'll be able to see it on his face. It will take a great actor to do it. You'll see on his face as he thinks, "I used to have a name. People used to address me by that. Name? My wife and children called me by name. My mother and father called me by name." And as he struggles with that, he wants his face, as he struggles with that, all at once there comes a wildness in him.
his eyes and he bellows out, "Legion!" And Luke gives us a parenthesis and says, "Because there were many demons in." You know your Roman history. You know that a legion was 6,000 soldiers. And this man says, "That's my name. You want to know my name? You want to know my name? My name is Legion." And they say, "Please don't send us to the abyss. Let us go into the hogs over there." And this brings me to the point where I want to share three ideas with you in this message this morning. Three requests that were asked of Jesus. One of which he says no to. And we would have expected Jesus to say yes to that request. And two requests were made of Jesus that he says yes to. And we would have expected Jesus to say no to those two. And here's the first one. From the demons in the man. "Send us into the pigs." Send us into the pigs. Sadly, how often that petition is repeated by men and women made in the image of God. Whenever men and women abuse alcohol, whenever they use marijuana and heroin and meth, whenever they abuse prescription medicine, whenever they become addicted to pornography and licentious living, whenever they're overcome with greed and run up enormous credit card balances and spend themselves into bankruptcy, whenever they elevate their pleasures and comforts and entertainment above the Lord God Almighty, I hear that dreadful petition, "Send us into the pigs." Jesus gave his consent. Demons asked for something, Jesus said, "Okay, yes, go into the pigs." And as soon as the demons get into the pigs begin to stampede and run for the cliff and hurtle themselves over the cliff and drown themselves in the sea. There's some things that even a pig won't put up with. And how much junk do we as human beings put up with that even a pig wouldn't put up with? And over the cliff they rush in a mad stampede. Mark, in his account of this, gives us an estimate of the crowd of pigs. 2,000, he says, hurl themselves into the water and drown. Request number one. This brings us to the second request, that of the owners of the pigs. The herders of the pigs had gone into town and had told them what the folks in town, all the folks in town, including the owners of the pigs, what had happened out there. And just as people rush today to see a wreck or a fire or any other disaster, so they rushed out of their homes, they go out through the fields, they go out past the graveyard, and they come out to where the pigs had been grazing. And they see an incredible sight. Not a pig in sight. But the man who called himself Legion is no longer jumping about and thrashing about wildly and screaming and behaving in a behavior that's obviously demonic. No longer is he naked. No longer is he thrashing about and muttering and murmuring and incomprehensible. Luke said he was clothed in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus.
And Luke puts an incredible note in the story at this point. Legion had been so wild. Legion had been so uncontrollable that for fear of themselves, for fear of their homes, for fear of their community, they had driven him out of town. Had bound him in chains to try to keep him away from them. And if he came near, they would run in the opposite direction for fear of their lives. And now they see him as they had wished he would be. And they're afraid. You'd have thought they'd have been rejoicing. And they make a second request. Jesus, leave us. A lot of stuff may have gone into that request. Maybe number one that went into that request was Jesus has gotten into the pocketbooks. And when Jesus gets into your pocketbook or into your wallet or in your purse, things begin to happen, things begin to change. And maybe that had a lot to do with it because the livelihood of the village was gone. People today complain about that and say, well, how awful of Jesus to give it into a situation where those animals would be slaughtered. And they forget the statement Jesus makes in another place. How much more value is a man or a woman than a sparrow? Whatever the motivation, they say, Jesus, would you leave us? And Jesus says, boys raise the sails. Push off from the shore. And he gets into the boat. And Luke tells us that he went all the way back. Request number two. First two requests, let us go into the pigs and Jesus get out of here. Yes. Yes. Request number three. Now we expect Jesus is going to say yes to this request. Because the man says, Jesus, let me go with you. Let me join the band. Let me go and follow you and share in your ministry wherever you're going. And Jesus says no. Return to your home and tell the people who know you the best. Tell the people who know how you used to be, how you used to live. Tell the people from whom you have no secrets what great things God has done for you. Several years ago, my home church back in Maryland asked me to come and preach a revival. And I was honored to do that. But it was one of the most difficult things I had to do. Because I was preaching to people with whom I had grown up and who knew all about me and from whom I had no secrets. It's a whole lot easier to walk into a crowd who doesn't know you from Adam's house cat and preach than it is to go among people who know you and tell them what great things God has done for you.
And Jesus said to that man, go back and tell those people. Oh yeah, he could have gone with Jesus. He could have been a great witness and given his testimony in meetings about what Jesus had done for him wherever they went. But Jesus says, go back and tell the people what great things that God has done for you. And Jesus and his disciples raise sail. And the little ship is going across the Sea of Galilee. And it gets smaller and smaller and smaller and finally disappears from sight completely. The legion turns around and goes back to the paths he's trod before. And when he gets close to town, somebody spots. Now I'm reading between the lines. Somebody spots and says, Legion is coming. And the women gather up their children and the men gather up their wives and the shops close up and even the barking dogs hide. Because when Legion comes to town, things go very bad. But he's clothed. And in his right mind, and he's not snarling, and he's not running, and he's not snapping, and he's not making wild, uncontrollable gestures. But the fear from the hill is still the fear as he goes into town. And the streets are empty. It's like a ghost town. But there's one house that he's heading for. Door peeks open a little bit, and a little girl peeks out from the crack. And she says, Mama, it's Daddy. And she hurls the door open, and she runs out into the street, and she leaps into his arms, and he gathers her up into his arms. And Luke says he told the whole town. And not just the whole town, he told the whole region the great things that Jesus had done for him, that God had done for him. And there's a revival in that town as the man they knew as Legion regains his old name. Demonstrates the grace of God. And Jesus will go back to this town. Jesus will go back to this community. And when he goes back there, he will find an incredible change has taken place there. And it wasn't because of Jesus, because they said, get out of here. We don't want anything to do with you. But because of this one person who had been touched by Jesus, the whole community was changed. People still debate about evil spirits and how they can possess the human soul. And when I see what goes on in the world as reported on the evening news, I have no difficulty believing in demons whatsoever. But the same Jesus who healed this man is still able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by Him. The evil spirits in this poor man could not be bound, but there he is, sitting, clothed, in his right mind. And to every evil spirit, to every evil habit, to every evil temptation, to every sorrow, to every fear, Jesus still says, come out of her. Come out of him. Now we've listened to three questions, of three requests. What will you ask of Jesus? And what will his answer be? We sang it a moment ago. He breaks the power of canceled sin. There's a whole lot of theology in that little line by Charles Wesley. He breaks the power of canceled sin. We're forgiven. We're redeemed. And we need Jesus to break the power that held us. And He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. And then what happens? That prisoner goes back and tells the people who know all the wrinkles, all the stains, all the junk, what God has done for him. And it makes more difference than a preacher coming to town, setting up a tent and holding a revival. Because they can see with their own eyes what has happened. My brothers, my sisters, I tell you this conversation of Jesus so that you'll know the power that you have in testifying of what God has done for you. No matter what the talking heads say on the nightly news, no matter what the screamers say on talk radio and talk television, you have a testimony of what God has done for you. Share it, proclaim it, brag on your Lord, and watch the changes that begin to happen around you as the people who know you the best understand what God has done in your life. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood avails for everyone. His blood avails for me.